Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Voices of Forestry podcast. I'm your host, Seth Stevenson, the Communications Coordinator with the Arkansas Forestry Association. And today, we are going to be discussing forestry software, which might sound a little ambiguous, but we're going to get into the nitty-gritty here in a bit. And this is kind of building on our Forest Tech episode that we had way back in episode 22, around November of 2021. So we're kind of building on that topic here a little bit. But before we get into our topic this month, let me give a special shout out and a thank you to our sponsors this month, Shelby Taylor Trucking, for their continued support of the show. We're going to hear a little bit more from them later on in this episode. But for now, let me introduce our guest this month, Joseph Page. He's the founder and CEO of Tamarack. Joseph, thank you for joining us. You're actually joining us by phone this month.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Joseph, we're actually going to be talking a little bit about some forestry software that you've kind of developed and, you know, talk about what your experience has been with software in the forestry industry. But before we do that, can you just kind of tell the people a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, for sure. So my background is in software, you know, worked with a bunch of different software companies across the country. And recently we launched Tamarack, which is a new software solution for sawmills.
And so what exactly does Tamarack do? I think we kind of talked about this. We're not trying to make it a sales pitch, but just kind of explain to people what your software is doing for sawmills.
Yeah, for sure. So at a high level, we manage all of the administrative tasks associated with running a sawmill. So that's inventory management, sales, shipping, financials. You know, that's on the sales side. And on the procurement side, you've got all the contracts with loggers and truckers at the mill, inventory for logs, etc.
Okay. Okay. And how long have you been in the software business?
In the software business, about 6 or 7 years, and then this business is a year old.
Okay, cool, cool. And so now you and I were talking, Joseph, before the episode, we kind of talked a little bit about a week or so ago, and you kind of told me that you didn't really have a history in forestry. So can you just explain to me how in the world you ended up making forestry software?
Yeah, so we knew, I have a co-founder who's our CTO and chief engineer, and we knew that we wanted to build really practical software that was actually used by people 8 hours a day, day in, day out, to do real work. You know, a lot of technology companies get built for consumers and are a little bit ambiguous in what they're doing for the world. So our high-level criteria is we really wanted to focus on a real industry in the country that supports real work. And then we looked at about 500 different industries trying to, you know, find the best market for a new software product. We talked to a bunch of folks in the industry and, you know, found some recurring themes that were troubling people around the current systems they were using, and so launched the business to solve some of that pain.
So could you, and you don't have to necessarily name names, but is there any way you can kind of share with what exactly some of these people were telling you?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, just to start, you know, the legacy systems take hours and hours to use. I don't know if your listeners have used software products that were built for sawmills 30 years ago, but they're incredibly difficult to use. And technology has advanced a lot in the last 30 years. So something that used to take 50 to 100 clicks on your computer now takes one click. And so you can imagine the amount of time you save. If you've got a person processing shipments at a sawmill for 8 hours a day, you know, you can drive that down to 30 minutes and free up a ton of time to do more productive stuff than menial administrative work. And there's, you know, a lot of consistent versions of that across operations where things just take a ton of time and data is not accurate because of all the manual errors that happen when you're typing in all this information. So we can solve a bunch of that for folks.
Yeah, we actually did an episode here not too terribly long ago talking about just sawmills in general, and that I don't think that was something that got brought up, but it is an interesting point that, yeah, you do have these very sophisticated programs that are assisting in the operations, and yeah, I mean, if they take multiple clicks when one will do, that just seems like it leaves a lot of options or opportunities for error, for sure.
For sure. And I mean, and those are the simple things. You know, there's also the kind of higher order things you can do around pricing intelligence, what products you should be making. You know, if you have a ton of different sales orders coming in and a ton of historic production, you know, information, you can make really, really accurate decisions around what products you should be making and what price you should sell them for. And there's no system that does that in a streamlined way for sales folks at a mill today.
So how long did it take you guys to go from figuring out, okay, there's a need here to where you're at now? I think you mentioned that you guys are about to have your first operation. I may be getting the terminology wrong, but your first sawmill that's using your software here in January, right?
That's correct. Yes. we spent about 6 months before we formally launched the business, just making sure that we were really on the right track, talking to a ton of folks, visiting a ton of mills, figuring out, you know, what folks wanted out of the product. And then, you know, the actual development is about a year in to build the core product, and we'll continue to improve it from there.
Okay. Interesting. So explain to me too, I know you mentioned that you kind of went around to and talked to folks, but what exactly was y'all's process in studying the needs and the wants of something like a sawmill when it comes to software?
Yeah, so a lot of it's just watching how people do their work today. So spending 8 hours a day watching folks at the mill do their job and kind of, you know, chatting and asking questions and figuring out where there are issues today. And then, you know, build a new feature, come back a week later, show it to folks, say, hey, does this solve the issue? And you do that enough times, and you start to have something that's a major improvement.
So it's almost like, in a, you know, not a sponsor, but it's almost like building a Lego set where you take a little bit and you build upon it, look at it, okay, that's good, and continue building until you've got the completed thing, right?
Exactly. And you have a big vision for where you're going and kind of what you want to do down the line. But then as you get closer to the implementation details, a lot of kind of nitty gritty work involved in validating each feature as you go. And, you know, we think that's the best way to build software, is with a lot of feedback from a lot of people really continuously with, you know, super engaged users.
And that's me dumbing it down to explain it to a 5-year-old, essentially, Joseph. So you'll have to forgive me, just me trying to understand it as well. So,
you're totally right.
Okay, well, cool. Well, so I guess kind of moving forward, what do you guys hope to see in the future with this software that you guys have created?
Yeah, I mean, we want to build a connected platform to make all of the work that happens across the forest products industry, you know, streamlined. So we want to pull, you know, the loggers, truckers, mills, wholesalers. We want everyone involved in the transaction to have a shared place to do all of their work. So right now, you know, there's a ton of email, ton of phone calls, a lot of just kind of menial work going back and forth that takes time. And that makes information accuracy worse. So, you know, the wholesalers might have no idea what's going on at the mill from a production standpoint. The landowners might not know exactly what trees to grow. And we want to kind of pull all of that information onto one platform so that everyone can make more money and everyone can have a lot more time to do the good part of their work, which is talking to customers and, you know, cutting deals rather than typing in information and figuring out exactly what they need to produce this week.
So did you actually get any hands-on experience with what was currently being used in the mills?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it.
And what was your initial thoughts whenever you kind of got in there?
You know, I'm not. These are our competitors, and I don't like to talk negatively about competitors.
Fair.
But you know, they're old systems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's fair. That wasn't me trying to, you know, have you dish out any tea or anything. I just thought I'd give it an ass and didn't even think about it being competitors. So, okay, well, cool. Well, I'll tell you what, Joseph, on that, a little awkward point, we're actually going to take a quick break so I can gather myself and apologize to Joseph here off air, but we're going to take a little bit of a pause here and hear a little bit more from our sponsors this month, Shelby Taylor Trucking.
Shelby Taylor Trucking serves all your timberland needs in South Central Arkansas. With over 50 years in the industry, Shelby Taylor Trucking has established themselves as trustworthy leaders in the industry. From planting to harvesting to hauling your timber, Shelby Taylor Trucking is ready to serve you. Follow them on all social media platforms at Shelby Taylor Trucking. Learn more by visiting their website at staylortrucking.com. That's staylortrucking.com.
Thank you once again to Shelby Taylor Trucking for their support of the show. So, Joseph, we're back. I gave you a lengthy apology here about the last question. But one thing I did kind of want to spend some time on, if that's okay with you, is another thing you had mentioned to me was that you, in your research to determine what you guys wanted to do, you guys kind of came to the conclusion that the forestry industry is being underserved. Can you just kind of explain how, you know, that realization that you guys had and why you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a complicated question with a lot of parts, and I'll do my best to explain it. I think, you know, across the entire industry, you don't have systems that are newer than 20 to 30 years old. So that's kind of the high level there. The reasons why that happens, I think, are manyfold. I would say the first is that there's a bit of a disconnect between the places that build software historically, which tend to be coastal cities like San Francisco or Seattle, and where, you know, sawmills actually operate, which is out in the world. And those folks just haven't even thought of sawmills. They tend to build things that serve the folks that they know, which are other kind of workflows in their area. The second thing, I think the zero interest rate phenomena that we lived in for a long time, you know, brought a lot of money into the software ecosystem in general, and that incentivized folks to build businesses that were designed to explode and get billions of consumers on them really, really quickly, because that's, you know, there's just abundant capital for all of these software companies. And as we've moved into a kind of higher rate environment, that, you know, brings discipline to the industry and says, hey, go find real businesses that solve actual problems and make people more money. So that kind of incentivizes, you know, the type of business that we're building. We would have done that anyway, but I think you're seeing a broader shift towards real industry software rather than consumer facing software that may or may not solve real problems. And then I think the third point would be that the kind of first wave of software that was built was for digital workflows, which makes sense theoretically. You know, like if you have people that have to sit behind a computer for 8 hours every day across the entire organization, so think of a law firm or an insurance agency, it makes more sense from a business point of view to build them software first as you kind of have the software revolution because they use it more. And now we're kind of, all of those have been done. And so you have a lot of these manufacturing industries and traditional industries that just weren't captured by that and weren't served by that and weren't helped by those first wave of software developments. And so, you know, we see a tremendous amount of value both, you know, for us as a business and for our customers to solve these pain points.
So you mentioned too, kind of like, you know, and I when you said, you know, most of these software companies are on the coast and your San Franciscos, and, you know, people always talk about Silicon Valley. And I had a funny image of, you know, my very stereotypical idea of a software person from that area coming to a place like Dirks, Arkansas, or, you know, somewhere very rural here in the middle of Arkansas where we have some locations, and they would stand out like a sore thumb.
Totally.
So, I mean, is there any way you think there might be a way to bridge the gap between, you know, the forestry industry, not necessarily just sawmills, but the forestry industry and the folks like yourself that are, you know, wanting to help make some of these processes easier?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I would say at a societal level, but, you know, we're doing it because we think that the industry can be served by better software and we can help folks, you know, run their businesses to the extent possible. So I think it just takes people who want to build real companies that actually serve, you know, real industries, and that'll happen one step at a time as folks, you know, gather up the resources to build these businesses.
And I might have missed it, and you'll have to forgive me if I did, but why do you think there is that shift to kind of help the quote-unquote real businesses?
Well, I think the interest rate phenomena would be the kind of abstract lever on that, where, you know, now that rates are higher, you know, there's more of an incentive to build businesses that serve real industries that can make money, mm-hmm. instead of kind of taking these huge long shots at businesses that might burn through $10 million but might become the next Facebook. And for a long time, the markets were kind of incentivizing people to build these long shot businesses. And now that money is worth something in the venture capital world, you get people kind of pushed towards building sustainable, enduring businesses. But mostly, I think it's just, you know, folks wake up and want to do it. And that's what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get more sustainable than forestry, to be quite honest with you. So
yeah,
I mean,
it's always going to be here. As long as people build houses, we're good.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, one last thing, Joseph, that I kind of want to talk to you about here as we start wrapping up towards the end of the show, is your kind of interactions with the people at the sawmills, I mean, what was their reactions to some of the new stuff that you guys brought to them? What were some of the things that might have been said to you guys as you were working on this new software?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say overwhelmingly the reaction is like, finally, you know, we really want this to save us so much time. Like, why didn't this happen sooner? So we've had nothing but positive reception and, you know, desire to optimize processes and save people time and money.
And where were you guys doing this work? Again, you don't have to say company names, but I'm curious in the kind of general location that you guys were at.
Pacific Northwest, and then some southern mills as well.
Okay, cool. So yeah, you guys, I wanted to say that we didn't mention that at the top of the show, that this is, we're branching out of Arkansas once again a little bit, and you know, kind of talking about some of the stuff that's being done outside of our state. But you know, we had our sponsor kind of mentioned you to us and was very excited about some of the stuff that you guys were doing. So that's how you and I kind of got together. But no, yeah, that's awesome. Well, Joseph, is there anything else that you would like to add or you'd like to say? This is kind of a little bit of a short one, but I think we covered a good chunk of what you and I had discussed. But is there anything that you want to add before we start wrapping this up?
No, I mean, I would just say, you know, we're really excited to serve the customers at, you know, mills and across the forest products industry. You know, our only goal is to make, you know, the folks doing this work's lives easier. Our business only works if we provide a software product that is tremendously valuable to the folks in the industry. And, you know, happy to chat with anyone that's curious about what we're doing. And really, thank you for the time.
Okay, awesome. Well, Joseph, thank you, man, for getting with us and giving me a phone call here. So we appreciate you helping us out here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Right. And we thank you guys for joining us this month as well, as always. One last shout out and thank you to our sponsors this month, Shelby Taylor Trucking, for their continued support of the show. We also want to give a special shout out and thank you to some guy named Rob McCormick for the use of our theme song, The Same Love. That's off of his album, The Folkster. You can find more of his music on Spotify. And as always, we'll have a link to his website in the description of this episode. And if you have any more questions or thoughts about the Arkansas Forestry Association, you can find us at arkforest.org. That's arkforest.org. So make sure you join us next month when we'll have a new topic, a new discussion, and a new voice of forestry.